Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is the fourth nor'easter of the season, so of course, I mean, the question is always, is this going to be normal? Is this the new normal for us? Lots of crazy weather with a changing climate? Well, on that point, Governor Charlie Baker, in fact, is embarking on a new climate resiliency initiative, beginning with a $1.4 billion bond bill. He announced the initiative last week in Scituate.
I have to say how important it is that we get folks from all 351 cities and towns to understand and appreciate that this is an issue that's fundamental to them as well as fundamental to us, and that we all need to pull together to do the work that's associated with ensuring that we here in the Commonwealth are ready.
Well, according to a new WBUR poll, it actually shouldn't be all that hard to get people on board because climate change is a big issue here, with over two-thirds of likely Massachusetts voters responding to the poll saying we are already seeing the effects of climate change. So let's explore a little bit about how we can take that political attention and transform it into political action. And to help us answer that question is David Cash. He's dean of the UMass Boston McCormick Graduate School of Policy and Global Studies and also the former commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. Dean Cash, it's good to see you again.
It's great to be here. Thanks, Meghna.
Okay, so let's first of all start with this $1.4 billion bond bill that the governor has put forth. Good idea?
Very good idea. Very positive initiative. This is an area in terms of resilience and preparation for climate that we should be investing in. This kind of investment will help us deal with the kind of new normal that you were talking about.
Right. So we're seeing, what, $170 million to repair dams and seawalls, almost $300 million for grants and funding for environment-related community projects, $270 million on supporting state environmental programs. So sort of a lot of an infusion of cash in a lot of important places.
Yes, which is also very important. And what has to begin, though, are really good analysis of where those investments can best pay off and provide the best kind of investments for future impacts.
Yeah. You know, this is an election year that we're coming into. So some of the Democratic candidates who are going to be challenging Governor Baker are saying, yeah, bond bill is great, but really we ought to have a permanent new revenue stream to help with climate resiliency.
So I think the ability to afford the kind of investments that we're doing is something that we should be thinking about. Should be thinking about what are the right kind of mechanisms to finance these kinds of things. In some ways, preparing for climate, the impacts of climate change require very different kinds of financing than the support of solar and wind and storage, because those are all marketable right now. So the call for looking at how we invest and create the kinds of revenue streams is something incredibly critical right now. And the results of Katrina and Sandy show us some indication of how those investments can be created through revenue streams.
Okay, so when we talk about resiliency, though, I mean, it's a very broad brush, right? Because it's everything from seawalls to thinking about moving towards more renewable sources of energy, mm-hmm. right? So
and about asthma, how do we protect for that, for flooding that is interior, not by the coast? There are many, many aspects of climate change that are going to influence our how we deal with multiple different stresses.
Okay, so I bring that up because the Environmental League of Massachusetts actually gave the Baker administration a C on its overall, on the administration's overall performance last year in leading on the environment and energy. ELM was citing budget cuts and staff reductions to environmental state agencies and what they see as Baker administration policies that support, you know, natural gas pipelines. I mean, is that a fair take on the governor's leadership on the environment?
I think when we look at the administration, there's no question that the Baker administration has moved forward in a lot of different ways. In fact, several months ago, you and I sat in this room and talked about how the Trump administration was pulling out of mm-hmm. or beginning to pull out of the Paris Agreement. And the Baker administration, as the Patrick administration before that, and in fact, the Romney administration before that, has moved the ball forward on the clean energy agenda. And this latest bill, I think, does the same thing on resilience and adaptation. Very few states are taking these kinds of steps. So I'm not, although I am in education, I am not in the business of giving grades on this. I could say that in many respects, the Baker administration is moving forward very positively, and there are some areas that can use a lot more attention, transportation, for example, being one of those.
Right. Okay. So Elizabeth Turnbull Henry, who's the president of the Environmental League of Massachusetts, is supportive of this bond bill. But looking more broadly at state leadership on the environment, she says she believes there are some gaps in the fundamentals, such as zoning laws. Mm-hmm. Let's listen. Mm-hmm.
We keep building in vulnerable, flood-prone areas and building buildings that are not necessarily resilient or energy efficient. So if zoning codes represent these blueprints for communities and building codes are blueprints for structures, neither are keeping pace with the changes that we need.
Now, this was to the point you were making earlier that, like, we were talking about resiliency. This is a very broad brush, mm-hmm. and there are some key changes that we could be made that it doesn't seem like are coming anytime soon in Massachusetts.
I think that she's making a really good point here. Now, much of this zoning is done through municipal actions, and one of the key points that's coming out of this legislation is providing the kind of resources that municipalities might need to study what are the better kind of zoning codes, both on the efficiency side and on the resilient side. And in fact, I've been part of, at UMass Boston, we have an organization called the Sustainable Solutions Lab, which this spring will be coming out with a study that looks at both financing and governance on how we can better prepare.
Okay, so we've just got about 30 seconds here left, Dean Cash. I mean, to that point, I think people right now are looking at the seaport as exhibit A in maybe how not to develop in the face of a changing climate. I mean, what lessons can we draw from the fact the seaport's been flooded multiple times already this year?
Yeah, I think the lessons are obvious. We're looking at a place where 10, 15, 20 years ago, there wasn't the analysis or the understanding of what the impacts would be. We have a better understanding now. And our planning and our zoning and all the kinds of rules and regulations that we have should be analyzed and acted upon, given that we know that there's going to be severe climate impacts in the future.
Yeah. Well, David Cash is the dean of the UMass Boston McCormick Graduate School of Policy and Global Studies and also former commissioner of the Massachusetts Department of Environmental Protection. Dean Cash, it's always great to have you. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Great to be here, Meghna.